Blog Talk Radio.
And all access is all inclusive.
Can't stop, won't stop. It's the Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show. You know how we do it, the podcast each and every week right here on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Fantasy Sports Channel. This is how we do it. Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Nantini. We're going to bring you around the league, 2 hours, commercial-free, nonstop radio. We can't stop, won't stop. This is how we get down. Welcome to the chat room. I can't wait, baby. Woo, football season. Everybody should be 1-0 in your fantasy football leagues. And this is the show that we're going to go stud duds and sleepers every single game. We're going to take your questions in the chat room. We're going to answer your questions on the phone lines, and we're just going to dive right into it. But first, I want to welcome in the stars of the show. You already know who I am, Rick Saratella, taking you on this rodeo ride for the next 120 minutes. But we have the Rostradamus, Ross Mandel, always looking into the future, and he has a new commercial out, if you didn't see him, about predicting the future. He says, everybody is going to be 2-0 in week two, after week two. Ross, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Rick. And you don't need the crystal ball to see who's atop the point standings in our league, baby.
And if you can't see into that crystal ball and make predictions like the Ross Adams, we've got the good Reverend Ralph Mancini always praying for you in Sunday Mass.
Happy, happy Sunday. It's nice and chilly outside. I am ready.
All right, we got the chat room starting up. We got Canada in the house. We got Aces Up, America's Guest, Jockstrap, Mark SD. I think he's a newbie. Welcome to the big show. And if you want to get down in the chat room, you know how we do it. We take your questions. If you want to get in on the phone lines, 347-945-6275. And before we waste any more time, I don't like to do that. So let's jump into the first game. Oakland at Buffalo, Ralph. Break it down for us.
Yeah, well, in this game, I like Fred Jackson. You know, the unheralded Bill will hit the century mark in rushing yards once again. He hit it last week versus the Chiefs, and I think he'll do so again versus the Raiders, who are better equipped at rushing the passer than they are at stopping the run. You know, although Oakland did a great job of keeping Denver in check, over the past 3 years, they ranked 29th, 29th, and 31st versus the run. The silver and black must also focus on keeping Ryan Fitzpatrick in check, which means not too many eight-man fronts for Freddie Jackson. The dud here is Jason Campbell. The name of the game with the Raiders this week will be to get the ball to number 20, Darren McFadden. And Campbell only attempted 22 passes last week. He won't be airing it out too much with a banged-up receiving core as Jacoby Ford and Lewis Murphy are out. And Darius Heyward-Bey is also dealing with a knee issue. Hey, if the Raiders fall behind big, Jason Campbell, even if he has to throw, this guy is very slow at recognizing coverages. I don't see a great day for him. I don't see why anybody should start him. The sleeper here is the big tight end, Scott Chandler from the Buffalo Bills. He caught all five of his targets last week, and at 6'7", he'll pose some matchup problems in the red zone. And plus, Oakland has struggled versus tight ends. They struggled versus tight ends last year, ranking 25th versus the position. So I do like Buffalo in this game. Give me Buffalo 26, Oakland 17.
All right, so the Rev believing that Buffalo, not a mirage last week. Just real quick, Ross, just out of curiosity, do you think the Bills are going to pull off the win 2 weeks in a row?
Yeah, I think they're going to win this game, but that doesn't necessarily mean I believe in them. You got to take a look at who they're playing, but I think they go to 2-0.
All right, putting a dent in the AFC West would be the Buffalo Bills at home against Oakland. Let's keep it moving right along. We have Chicago, another team that people just don't want to give enough respect to, Ross, traveling into New Orleans, taking on the New Orleans Saints, who lost that opening game against the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, and, you know, we saw a lot of awful lot of warts there on the Saints. And on the other hand, the Bears look pretty good. Like, I think the fact that Tracy Porter isn't going to play in this game, a corner for the Saints, just reaffirms what I believe. And that's that Jay Cutler's going to have a pretty good game this week. Look, I know New Orleans D isn't as bad as they were against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, but it's certainly bad. You know, it's not awful, but it's certainly bad. Cutler looked good last week, 312 yards. You know, two touchdowns, one pick. I think he's going to have close to that again this week. I like him a lot. As far as Drew Brees goes, obviously you start him. You don't have to be that scared of Chicago's defense. I think that goes without saying. So the guy to play on Chicago, Matt Forte, top 10 against a weak defensive front. And even if the Saints somehow get out to a large lead, that doesn't eliminate Forte's usefulness because they'll just throw the ball to him and he can take another one of those 67-yard dink passes and rack up Cutler's numbers. I think Forte gets his numbers regardless of the score. And I think I have to love Jimmy Superstar Graham here. I think Breeze is going to work the underneath more than he's going to work out wide, especially with Colston being out. And I don't necessarily trust Meacham or Devery Henderson. So I think Graham's going to be a red zone target. I think he's going to be a middle of the field, down the seam target. I look for him to have a very good game. Dud here, and I love saying it, Roy Williams. 4 catches for 55 yards in week one, and now he's banged up. As I've been saying since they got this bum, Johnny Knox is a better receiver. He's going to end up with better numbers. Don't play Williams. He's not going to be worth your time this week. I think you need to temper your expectations on Devery Henderson. Look, I know he had a great week last week, but that's the story of his career. The guy's inconsistent. Last year, he didn't have a 100-yard game. In his best game, he had 97 yards, and the next week, he had no yards. So I would not trust him. You want to pick him up and stash him, see if he's going to be consistent, that's fine, but don't plug him in and think he's going to get those numbers every week as he did last week. A couple of sleepers in this one. As I mentioned, I like Johnny Knox. I think the fact that Williams is a little banged up, I think the fact that the Saints have not provided very much of a pass defense, I see Knox going 75, 80 yards at getting a score in this game. And another guy I really like, speaking of the underneaths and the dink-offs here for Drew Brees, I like Darren Sproles a lot in this game. Extremely lively, obviously, last week against Green Bay. He played more than any other New Orleans running back last week. I think that's important. 80 yards plus whatever return yards, if your league counts that. I think he's a nice play against that Chicago D. It's a good matchup for him. But at the end of the day, it's going to be the Saints that are 0-2. Chicago goes down and takes the win 27-24.
Wow. Okay. All right. Prediction, Ralph, Chicago at New Orleans. Do you agree or disagree that Chicago pulls off the upset on the road?
I do agree that it's going to be a close game, but I think that New Orleans has had extra time to prepare for this one. I think that New Orleans wins this game by a score of about 28-24.
How much time did New Orleans have to prepare for Green Bay? Come on now.
Well, Green Bay's a better team.
I know they are, but don't give me time to prepare. That don't matter.
I think it's an advantage. I mean, it's an advantage for the coaching staff, and it's an advantage for the players to rest up.
If you have bad players, it doesn't matter how long it takes.
You think New Orleans has bad players?
On defense.
I don't think they're as bad as you think they are, man.
Well, I know what I saw.
Russ, let me ask you this. I know a lot of people in fantasy football land are wondering, you know, what to expect out of Mark Ingram. You know, you mentioned Darren Sproles in the mix. I mean, what can we expect from Ingram? Do you think that he'll ever be a 20 to 25 plus type of guy this season, or is he going to be more like a 15, 20 touches, split in time type of role player?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a matter of who's on the roster, and I think there's too many people that are going to steal touches away from him this season. Pierre Thomas looked good to me, and for my money, he's the one that should have gotten the ball in the last play of the game. He was running rough and rugged. But, yes, I do think Ingram can be that guy. No, I don't think it's going to happen this year. And, you know, look, I don't know what Sean Payton's philosophy is there as far as spreading the wealth, but it looks like he's doing that so far. So until I see Ingram either get another opportunity with another team 3 or 4 years down the line or Pierre Thomas go down, he's not going to be that guy.
Hey, guys, I think we're overreacting to what happened in week one. I mean, let's not forget that Green Bay jumped all over New Orleans. When you're playing Green Bay, a lot of times they force you to go into hurry up or to pass only mode. And the fact that Ingram got 13 carries in that game says a lot to me. I think they do want to get the ball in his hands. And I think, you know, depending on who they go against, I think he will see the ball even 20 times a game. But, again, when you go up against, you know, Green Bay where, you know, you're worried about them, you know, putting a 40 spot up on you, you know, I think that affects a guy like Ingram. But I think in the right matchup, I think he will get 20 carries a game.
Yeah, I don't see it unless Thomas gets hurt.
It looks
right,
like the New England situation.
We'll find out today. We'll find out today. Nolens with the Saints taking on the Bears, and of course, Bears linebacker Brian Urlacher playing with a heavy heart due to the death of his mother. So thoughts and prayers out to him and his family. Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show. Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini, breaking it down for the people. Now you know how we do it each and every Sunday. If you're new to the show, we're here every season, every week, 8 to 10, commercial free. So feel free to hop along the gravy train as we march to fantasy football stardom. Over to the chat room now. Time to take some questions, Rev. And we got Mark SD, Kevin Cobb, or Sam Bradford this week.
Yeah, that's a good question because I really am not in love with either one this week. I think I'm going to go with Cobb just because I think he's slightly healthier than Bradford. So we all remember Bradford had a little bit of a finger issue during the week. And the thing with Bradford is that he's still getting accustomed to that new system that they have in there with Josh McDaniels. So I think it might take a couple of weeks before we see Bradford just really feel comfortable in that new offensive system. So I know Cobb is a newcomer to the Arizona Cardinals, but I kind of like Cobb a little bit better. I know he's going to have a tough time versus Washington. He's going to go on the road. I'm going to go with Cobb here just because I don't think Bradford's completely comfortable yet in the new system, and he's dealing with that finger issue. So I don't know if he's playing at 100%.
Russ, Cobb or Bradford?
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with the Reverend on this one, but it's, you know, it's a slight advantage to Cobb, I think. And, you know, you want to throw another thing in there. It's playing on Monday night in the new Meadowlands, under the lights. I know Bradford's played in big games before, but if you add everything into it, it's certainly not going to help. It doesn't help that his receivers are all banged up. I think it's Cobb by a little bit, but this is why I hate having quarterbacks like, you know, these two on my team, because every week, you know, you're going to have a matchup decision to make, and if you make the wrong choice, you're kicking yourself all day.
Well, I don't know here because, you know, something tells me this could be a hunch. I could be reading into it too much, but Steve Spagnuolo returns to the Meadowlands on Monday Night Football with his brand-new team and a brand-new spanking quarterback. When was the last time the Rams were on Monday Night Football? And now they're playing this giant secondary that Sexy Rexy Grossman kind of shredded up last week. So I'm kind of liking Sam Bradford here, but that's just me, just another man's opinion, and we'll keep it moving. Go Bronx, always good to see him in the chat room. Okay, he has a very interesting scenario, Ross. I know you are also somewhat in a similar boat with the whole Brandon Lloyd injury as well as Santonio Holmes on the men, but here's his dilemma. It's a QB flex league, so it's one of those leagues where you can start a quarterback or a running back, wide receiver at flex position, whatever the case may be. Now, he has to play Brandon Marshall or Santana Moss because of the Brandon Lloyd injury. His flex options are Cedric Benson, Sam Bradford, or Chad Henne. He's thinking of doing the ultimate don't in fantasy football and playing Chad Henne and Brandon Marshall and putting all his eggs in one basket. Or he wants to know, should he play Benson instead of one of the quarterbacks? But I just told you why to play Sam Bradford, so that would be my decision, Ross. I'd say stay away from playing Chad Henne and Brandon Marshall because that's not going to win you too many fantasy football games.
Well, I think for today, I would play Marshall over Moss, but I would certainly not play Chad Henne. I just think overall the Miami offense isn't going to get a lot done today. I think people, again, as Rev mentioned earlier, don't fall too quickly in love with week one. Henne's not going to go off for 400 yards against the Houston Texans today. And, you know, judging by what I've seen all of last year and what I saw again this year in week one, the Broncos just can't stop anybody on the ground. And, you know, look, I know Cedric Benson's no Darren McFadden, but to me, Benson looked really lively in week one, and I see no reason for him not to have a big game at whatever that place is called, Sports Authority Field. I think I'd lean toward Benson in this one, even though usually starting a quarterback is a good idea. I just don't trust Chad Henne until I can see him put a few good games together.
All right. Two different opinions, so we'll get the tiebreaker from the Reverend. He's got Brandon Marshall or Santana Moss, Rev. I do agree that he should play Brandon Marshall over Santana Moss, but do you like doing the combination with Chad Henne? Do you prefer to go with the running back and Cedric Benson, or do you like Sam Bradford under the Monday Night Lights?
Well, typically, if I have to pick between a quarterback and a running back, I would rather go with the quarterback. They get to see the ball more often. They could put up I usually go with the quarterback. I'm not a big fan of Henne. I don't think he's going to do the same thing he did last week, although he might put up decent numbers. I prefer Bradford a little bit better. I just like him overall as a quarterback a little bit better. And as you said, he is playing against the banged-up Giants secondary. I would probably go with Bradford in that situation, over Henne and over Benson as well.
But, you know, all right, guys, we talk about the Giants secondary banged up. How about the guys that are going against them? They're just as banged up, the Rams receivers, no?
Yeah, but they got some potential there, though.
I'm supposed to be scared of Mike Sims-Walker?
Yeah, but you got Brandon Gibson who's pretty good. And this kid Salas is pretty good, so we'll see. I mean, they got the tight end, Kendricks. You know, he could really he could make a difference on that team, too.
I took that one on the chin last weekend.
All right, so you got two for Bradford, one for Benson, and definitely a hell no on the Chad Henne combination. America's Guest, always good to see you, pal. PPR League, 1 point for PPR, touchdowns are 6 points, needs three of these guys, Rev. Mm-hmm. Tell me which three players you like from these this list here. Mendenhall, which seems like a no-brainer. Javid Best, Bush, I'm going to assume Reggie Bush or Michael Bush. Let's call it Reggie Bush. Mendenhall, Best, Reggie Bush, Tolbert, Matthews, timeshare committee, and Jordy Nelson also into the mix. So needs three players, Mendenhall, Best, Bush, Tolbert, Matthews, and Nelson. Which three is it going to be?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Mendenhall. I'll go with Javid Best, and I'll go with Tolbert here. I mean, I know that Tolbert isn't a timeshare, but he's going to score the touchdowns. He catches a lot of passes. And, you know, if you're trying to figure out what they're going to do in San Diego, you have to look at, number one, pass protection. And Tolbert is much better at picking up the blitz than Matthews is at this point. They feel more comfortable with Tolbert in there. He reacts to things a lot more quickly. So I think that Tolbert, he's the guy to go with, I think, at least during the early part of the season until Matthews kind of gets better acclimated with that offense. Let's not forget, he's still in his second year. So my guys are Mendenhall, Best, and Tolbert. Reggie Bush, yeah, could have a good game, but I just don't have a lot of faith in the guy. To me, he's not a feature back, and so I go with those three guys that I mentioned.
And I agree, Rev. And, you know, people keep asking me about this. Tolbert, Matthews, buddy of mine asked, you know, he had Sean Green, Tolbert, and Matthews. I even advised starting Tolbert over Sean Green and definitely over Ryan Matthews because, you know, let's be honest, Tolbert's the man there in San Diego. I don't care what you say. I don't care if you use a first-round pick on Ryan Matthews. I don't care. Look at it. Look who's a better player. Tolbert's a red zone player, baby. If you're worried about a shootout with New England and San Diego, it doesn't matter. Tolbert catches the ball, too. Guy's a beast inside the red zone. He has the best chance to score a touchdown when you compare him against Ryan Matthews. And I even like Tolbert over Sean Green this week. That's just me being me. I see we got a Taz sighting in the chat room. Now the show is officially complete. All you party people in the chat room, always appreciate the love. Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show. Rick Saracella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini. Haven't heard from Jersey yet in the house. Must be sleeping in late today. Keep it in the chat room. Let's see. Ross needs to sit one of these players. Tim Hightower, please do not sit him. Tolbert or Kenny Britt, I think this one's a no-brainer. I just tooted the horn for Tolbert, but look, Hightower, Kenny Britt, love the upside. Let's put Tolbert on the bench. Agree, disagree?
I think I have to agree with that. I love Kenny Britt today, and, you know, I think Hightower has a very good game as well. Tolbert I'm a little sketchy on, so I think three good players, but two better than the other. I agree with you. I think you got to put Tolbert down.
All right, Russ, I'm going to stick with you with Kenny Britt for Philly Sports Talker. Are you the sports talker or sports stalker? It's a little bit of a play on words there. Kenny Britt versus Baltimore or Stevie Johnson versus Oakland. A tough call, Russ. Who do you like?
Yeah, it is kind of a tough call because Stevie Johnson keeps doing it. But Kenny Britt, a phenomenal week last week. And, you know, I'm not really that scared against the Ravens secondary. I watched Mike Wallace produce, and, you know, Kenny Britt can get deep, and he can do all that. And I'm a little concerned about Stevie Johnson's injuries he's got going there. I know he's probably going to play, but he's a little dinged up. I know the Raiders, you know, they're suffering since Nnamdi Asamoah is gone. 6 and 1 half dozen the other. I like Kenny Britt today. I have a feeling he's going to get deep a couple times. I don't think they're going to win the game, but I think he's going to go over the century mark today and find the end zone. And I'm not sure Johnson is going to do that today. So I'll go with Britt.
You know, this is a tough call, so I'm going to get another opinion because, you know, that Baltimore defense was swarming all over Pittsburgh last week, Rev. And,
yeah,
you know,
swarming.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Is Hasselbeck really going to be able to produce, or, you know, Stevie Johnson has that injury, but Oakland, a much better matchup. Who do you like here?
Yeah, Oakland is a much better matchup, but the thing with the Baltimore Ravens is their front seven looked fantastic, but they're a little banged up in the secondary themselves.
Jimmy Smith
is not going to be playing in this game. And so I look at that. I probably look at that as a deciding factor. And, you know, the other thing with the Baltimore Ravens is I do think they're going to win this game, but this could be like the classic letdown game, you know, after they finally slay the beast and beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, I think they might have a little bit of a letdown where Tennessee actually makes a game out of this, and so I'm going to go with Kenny Britt.
All right.
Yeah, I think Carr's out, too, for the Ravens, too, isn't he?
Oh,
wow.
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah, Chris Carr is out also. I mean, so
right.
I mean, Ladarius Webb is a nice cornerback, but I mean, that you know, they're a little bit, they're all banged up there. They're missing some numbers there. So,
Britt's a monster, man.
The second part of that question I'm going to take myself is a no-brainer: Tim Hightower or Tolbert. And you know, I'm going to tell you right now, Hightower's going to be a fantasy beast. I'm glad I got him in my league. All right, Rev, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Do you know Darren Sproles, if he is returning kicks today, or is Lance Moore going to steal some if he plays?
I don't know. I mean, I know that Sproles was the guy last week. We don't know. We don't know if Lance Moore is going to play. He's still questionable. I haven't heard whether or not he's definitively going to play yet. That's something you're going to have to keep track of.
I think he'll probably play, but they're not, you know, A, Sproles was so good last week, and B, Moore's a little dinged up, so I wouldn't worry about Moore getting return yardage.
Yeah. All right, sticking to the chat room here, you know, you can't make the club in the tub, and you can't win fantasy football games if you don't play Ray Rice. I mean, you know, listen, he's from Rutgers, first of all. So yeah, hey, listen. You know, you don't bench this guy for nobody. I don't care who he's playing. If you have Ray Rice on your team, like I do, he will be in my starting lineup, barring injury. He'll be in my starting lineup for 16 of the 17 weeks. The only week he will not be is during the bye week. And Tubb learned that the hard way, took one on the chin, but that's okay. It's still early. It's sunny out today. I think you're gonna be 1-1. All right, Jack Stratt, always good to see you. Needs three of these guys, Ross. PPR league now. And, guys, you know, in the chat room, just a friendly reminder, you know, Bush, I'm going to assume it's Reggie Bush because he's the more famous one, but if it's Michael Bush, Reggie Bush, let's get a little initials going, huh? Reggie Bush, Sean Green, Javid Best, Cedric Benson, Jordy Nelson, Deion Branch, James Starks, Joseph Addai. I'll say him one more time for you because he needs three. Reggie Bush, Sean Green, Javid Best, Cedric Benson, Jordy Nelson, Deion Branch, James Starks, Joseph Addai. It's a very big, lot of bench spots in this league, Ross. I hope you got it all in and you can give him three.
All right. Here we go. First of all, Javid Best has got to be one of your guys today. Great matchup. Love the homecoming. Lions going to be fired up. Chiefs have been nothing. You got to go with Best. Now you got a problem. Look, I happen to love James Starks today.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Panthers are just going to be gashed all day and all night. And for my money, Starks looked a lot better than Ryan Grant in every area, including, as Rev mentioned before, pass blocking for Aaron Rodgers. So I think I throw him in there. then it comes down to a Dye, Bush. I can't trust Jordy Nelson to do what he's doing every week. I can't trust Joseph Addai, so I'm going to get rid of the two of them. So that's Reggie Bush, Cedric Benson, Sean Green. I can't trust Sean Green. I don't think I trust Reggie Bush to run the ball consistently. Great as a receiver out of the backfield, but, you know, 50 yards receiving, 60 yards receiving, I don't know that he's going to find the end zone there. I'm high on Cedric Benson this week, guys, or high on something else. You could tell me. But I just like Benson's matchup there. So I'm going best Benson and Starks.
All right. I like the logic. I like how you broke it all down for the people like that, Russ, your dominance. And I know you were rubbing your crystal balls on that
one. I have it. It's a little murky.
America's guest wants to know, Rev. Interesting scenario. Another one of those QB-eligible flex scenarios. Big Ben or Ryan Matthews, bottom line, 6 points for all touchdowns. And, you know, he's currently going with Ryan Matthews and wants to know if Big Ben have a bust-out, breakout, revenge game. Should he go Big Ben or Ryan Matthews?
Yeah, you go with Big Ben here. I mean, look at the matchup. I mean, I think that the Steelers should be able to put up at least, 34, 35 points on the miserable Seattle Seahawks. And you
I'm
know
sorry,
that,
I'm sorry. I got to cut you off, Rev. It's not Ryan Matthews. It's Matthew Stafford. My apologies.
Oh, wait a second. Didn't we talk about this last week? I thought we spent like half the show talking about Big Ben or Stafford last week.
Different
and now
matchup.
It's, deja vu all over again here. You know something? I mean, it's very close. I mean, the only reason why I go with Stafford here is because I think what's going to happen in that Steelers game is I could see Pittsburgh jumping out to like a 14 or 17-0 lead or even the 21-0 lead, and then they're going to start running the ball in the second half, and I think Mendenhall is going to have a huge day. And I don't think Big Ben is going to need to throw the ball as much as maybe Matthew Stafford is. I do think Detroit is going to just stomp on the competition, the Kansas City Chiefs today also. But I do think that the Steelers are a better running team. And so I think I'm going to go with Stafford based on that.
Yeah. I mean, Russ, I don't know about you. Look, I have Big Ben on one of my teams, and he did me dirty last week. But, you know, I'm not going to get discouraged. I'm going to stick with my stud. And I understand Stafford and the Lions. I mean, who was the last time? I know you – This game is actually coming up soon on our docket. When was the last time the Lions were 9-point favorites? Wow. So they think the Lions are going to put some points up on the board. Big Ben or Matthew Stafford?
Well, I got Stafford on about 30 of my team, so I'm looking for him to stay healthy and do well this year. Look, I think it's very close. I think that each quarterback is in the exact same spot. Their teams are likely to be up a lot of points by the middle of the third quarter. So that makes you wonder, how often are they going to put it up? I think they can each do enough damage in the first half to justify playing either one of them. But for my money, I think the Steelers are going to go to the ground a lot more, a lot earlier than Detroit. So I'm going to go with Stafford. I could see him putting up, you know, 275 in the first half and two touchdowns to Calvin Johnson and one to Nate Burleson. So I'm going with Stafford this week and until he's hurt.
All right, Rostradamus drinking the blue Kool-Aid for the Detroit Lions. Keep it in the chat room. We'll get back to game previews in a second here. I want to get caught up. Mercedes Lewis, you dropped him, picked up Tony Gonzalez, wants to know if that's an upgrade. I don't know. I like Mercedes Lewis upside, Rev, a little bit more than Tony Gonzalez.
Well, for this week, you know, it might make some sense, but for the rest of the season, no, you want to keep Mercedes Lewis. Mercedes Lewis is banged up. And he is doubtful for this week's game versus the Jets. But, yeah, for the balance of the season, Mercedes Lewis is the guy you want in there. I mean, the guy is huge. He's gigantic, and he's only 28 years old, whereas Gonzalez is slowing down a little bit. And I think he might become the not only a secondary but a tertiary option there
Ooh.
In Atlanta. So, yeah, I like Mercedes Lewis.
I got to agree.
All right. I got to agree, too. Excuse me, everybody. Let me clear my throat, DJ Cool in the house. We need a scenario over here that is a tough one. And, Ross, I want to know, you know, you're a residential Giants guru, Hakeem Nicks, the word on the street is he's going to play, last time I heard anyway. But, you know, interesting scenario, 1 point for every 25 yards of kick return yardage. So he needs one of these guys, and Hakeem Nicks is one of them. But he also has Darren Sproles. He also has Felix Jones, who returns kicks. And he has a very interesting option in Willis McGahee this week. I believe no Sean Moreno is not playing. I could be wrong. But Darren Sproles, Willis McGahee, Felix Jones, or Hakeem Nicks this week, who do you like?
Well, I got to tell you, I don't like Nicks at all this week. He can guarantee he's going to play all he wants, but it ain't up to him. He's banged up, and the worst part about it is this isn't a Sunday at 1 p.m. situation where you can see, oh, he's not going to play, I'll just plug someone in. You're going to be stuck holding the bag because he's playing Monday night, and if you decide to use him, you're not going to have any other options. So I wouldn't use him, and I think I'm leaning in the direction of Darren Sproles. I mean, if return yardage is counting, he's going to get some, and you know he's going to get the receiving yards. I like Sproles a little more than Felix Jones. I'm really not feeling Felix Jones all that much this week. So I'm going to go with Sproles. I'm scared of Knicks. I just don't like when they're playing. I don't like the injury situation. And quite frankly, I don't like the Giants' passing game or offensive line. So all those add up to not playing Knicks for me.
Yeah, Knicks is a little scary this week. However, I do like Willis McGahee. I'm not going to lie. I think he could be a sneaky play this week. Blast from the past, you might say, from Willis McGahee. That's just me. But let's keep it moving. Club, can't make the club in the tub. Wants to know, non-PPR, Rev, Reggie Wayne, Jeremy Maclin, Plaxico, and early Dissett. He can start three, so he needs to bench one of these guys. Who are you sitting down, Reggie Wayne, Maclin, Plaxico, or Dissett?
You know, I think that the guy I'm probably going to sit down here, the guy I am going to sit down is Dissett. I mean, look, he had one good week. And if you watch that game, Cobb wasn't really looking his way. I mean, he was looking to get the ball to Fitzgerald. Unfortunately, they were surrounding Fitzgerald with like four or five guys in that game. So, I mean, Dissett is a good player, but he's a guy that's not very durable. And really, I don't think anybody has really established themselves as that number two receiving threat on that team. And so you just can't go with Dissett based on the fact that he had a big play last week. You need to see a lot more from him. You need to see whether or not this guy's going to be durable enough to play 16 games in a season, which he has not proven. So to me, I'd rather go with the more proven guys here, Wayne, Maclin, and Flexical Burris.
Yeah, and I tend to agree. I mean, as much as Jeremy Maclin frustrated me last week, I'm not going to bench him in favor of early Dissett just yet. Okay, Dazed and Confused, always good to see him. And, you know, always good to go over to Rostradamus with this one. Matt Schaub or Matthew Stafford? We've been talking a lot about Matthew Stafford this week.
Yeah, I was kind of bummed out by Schaub's performance last week, but that's what happens in fantasy football. Sometimes your team, you know, Schaub's team got up a lot. They didn't need to throw. He could kind of holster all the guns. But that's not going to happen this week. I think he's going to have him coming out blazing. He's going to throw for at least two touchdowns, at least 265, 270 yards. But it's not Matt Stafford territory, baby. Stafford's going over 300. He's going to throw for three touchdowns, and I can't see that coming from Matt Schaub in this game, so I like Stafford.
All right. There you have it. Rostradamus said it, so it must be true. Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show, Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini. We're just over 30 minutes into the show. We have broken down Oakland and Buffalo, Chicago at New Orleans. If you're just joining us late to the show, you want to get caught up on those game previews, you could always check out the archives at All Access Football on Blog Talk Radio. We're here each and every week, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time, exclusively on the Fantasy Sports Channel. Who else breaks it down for the people commercial free like this? Time for Tampa Bay at Minnesota, Rev. Break it down.
Well, for this game, I'm just going to roll back and roll myself a fat blunt as an legitimate blunt. And I do like him this week, believe it or not. Hey, look, head coach Raheem Morris owned up to his mistake of abandoning the running game versus Detroit last week, which left Blount with only five carries for the entire game. Expect that to change this week. as the Bucs will be facing a less potent Vikings offense that won't force Josh Freeman and company to go into pass-first, hurry-up mode. Also keep in mind that defensive tackle Kevin Williams is still serving a two-game suspension, and that starting middle linebacker E.J. Henderson might sit this one out with a swollen knee. What I know about him is that he's probably going to be a game-time decision. The dud here is Percy Harvin. Look, talent-wise, this kid is special, but he's stuck in a bad situation. And unless he gets you another kickoff return score to start off the game, he's probably going to disappoint you. You know, the game plan is going to revolve around Adrian Peterson, since Donovan McNabb isn't nearly as athletic as he once was. He's just not a very precise signal caller. And I have to see more out of McNabb and the entire offense and out of those receivers before I could recommend any one of them. I'm not going to recommend Harvin in this game. The sleeper here, I'm going to give you a deep sleep. And by the way, Harvin is going to be going up against Aqib Talib, and that's another reason why you shouldn't start him. The sleeper here, I'm going to give you a deep sleeper. I'm going to go with Aurelius Ben.
Whoa.
You know, the Bucs want to put the ball in the hands of Ben, and they realize that they can't be overly dependent on Mike Williams. Ben is one of those guys that's a great run after the catch guy in the mold of Anquan Boldin. And last week, he got 7 targets. He had 4 receptions, mostly on screen plays. And I think those screen plays will be there against Minnesota that likes playing that cover too. So if you're in a deep, deep league or in one of those leagues where you have to start 4 receivers, I think it really is Ben as a guy that could do something for you this week. I do like Tampa Bay in this game. I'll go Bucks 27, Minnesota 16.
All right, there you have it. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers coming off a deflating, disappointing loss against the Detroit Lions. I thought that they would give them a better battle than that and get to make it up against another black and blue division team in Minnesota as they travel in to the Twin Cities. Ross, you have a very interesting matchup because Detroit, who we just mentioned, looked pretty good against those Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They are home this week against the Kansas City Chiefs, who, to say the least, had a lackluster performance against Buffalo last week.
And it's only going to get worse for the Chiefs. The Motown will be rocking today for the home opener. Visions of an unbeaten season dancing in the heads to atone for the winless one a couple of seasons ago. Look, there's some obvious plays here. Matt Stafford. KC was awful against Buffalo at home, and now they're on the road without Eric Berry. Do the math. 300 yards and 3 touchdowns, very possible for Stafford again, who's quickly moving up fantasy lists, or at least fantasy lists that matter worth it. CJ Calvin Johnson, banged up. He'll play. It doesn't matter. You could take one arm away from the guy. He's still going to haul in 100 and a couple of touchdowns in this one. Jamaal Charles owners, do not freak out. I know it was a bad deal last week, but he really is, at this point, the main offensive cog. I'm not trusting Bo to do anything. I don't think that Charles is going to get a ton of carries, but what the guy's shown throughout his career is that he can get carries in the teens and still put up top 5 fantasy numbers. Not sure he's going to do top 5 this week, but keep the faith. The man will produce for you today all around. And you know, we give this guy a lot of abuse, but I kind of like him this year, and that's David Best. They gave him the ball 21 times last week, and he actually came out of the situation alive. He also had 42 yards receiving. He's healthy. He's playing at home. I like him on that turf, at least while he's healthy. He's going to get a lot of touches against Kansas City in that game. I could see over 100 total yards and a touchdown for Javid Best. Those are the 3 guys I like the best, and, of course, Calvin Johnson in this game. The duds, 2 Chiefs, not a surprise. First, not that anyone's starting him anyway, but Matt Castle. Lost, L-O-S-T, lost, 119 yards passing in week 1. I don't think you can attribute all of that to the bruised ribs he's got going on, but you can be absolutely positive that Ndamukong Suh is going to test those ribs, if not put some barbecue sauce on them and devour them. Look, even if you start 2 quarterbacks, you can't start Matt Castle this week. And the other guy, Dwayne Bowe, I just think his situation was shaky to begin with. It's made even shakier by the fact that Castle is just not looking like a legitimate starting quarterback right now. And the whole Kansas City offense falling apart. the defense is terrible. That's going to have an effect on the offense. It's a very fine line that Kansas City walks between running the ball and running the ball and having a defense come through and playing a tight game. Last year, things went in their favor. This year, it's not going to. I think they're headed for double-digit losses. Sleeper in this game, and I know this is going to wake the rev up, Nate Burleson. I think he's actually a better play than Dwayne Bowe this week. I think Detroit's going to throw often. Calvin Johnson might catch a lot of them, but he's not going to catch all of them. I think Burleson sets up for one of those deep distraction passes where they got eight guys on Calvin Johnson. I also like Brandon Pettigrew. I think he's going to be good for some of those, 9, 10, 11 red zone trips that the Lions are going to take today. And, you know, I like the Lions' defense today. Sacks aplenty. Matt Castle going to cough it up a couple times. Guys, I really like the Lions today. I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl, but I think they can handle a decimated Chiefs team at home pretty easily. Detroit 31, Kansas City 13.
Hey now.
Hi-ho. Hey, okay. Well, you know what's interesting, Roz, while you were giving that breakdown, lovely job, a question came in. Baltimore Ravens defense against bada-bing, bada-boom, Tennessee Titans or Detroit Lions defense? Who do you like?
Wow. I'm tempted to take Detroit, but I'm not at that point yet. I really like the Ravens today. I think they're a top three unit. I think the Lions are a top 10 unit, but they're a little bit below. It's closer than one might think, but I still am going to go with the Ravens, especially after how lively they looked last week.
Okay. Before we get into our next game preview, back over to the chat room, Rev, where, you know, people are wondering, what is Matt Ryan going to do this week? Didn't throw a touchdown last week. We know about his road struggle woes. Traveling into Philadelphia is a tough game. I do think
That's in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Oh, it's in Atlanta. Oh, okay. My apologies. I'm the idiot today. Anyway, Matt Ryan is still facing a tough secondary, and I do think he puts some points on the board with a touchdown, but I could see a pick or two for him. What's your prediction for Matt Ryan? We'll save the Rostradamus prediction for last. Go ahead, Rev.
Well, I think if Atlanta had their druthers, I think that they would give the ball to Michael Turner 30 times and just watch him run the ball. And I think Michael Turner will have a good game in this one. I think he matches up well versus the Philadelphia Eagles. The problem with that game plan is Philadelphia is going to score, and obviously they have a lot of playmakers on that offense, and so you just can't run the ball and expect to beat Philadelphia. I think that Matt Ryan's going to have to put it up in the air. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. Probably the last team with the ball is going to win that game. So I do think that Matt Ryan could have a decent game. I could see him put up about, 275 yards and 2 to 3 touchdowns.
Whoa.
Ross.
That seems a little high as far as touchdown passes go. I'm thinking more 250, 260 yards and one touchdown. I think that Turner's going to be the one to score multiple touchdowns today, if anybody does. Look, Ryan, as you said, has trouble on the road. They're at home. I think he will be able to get some underneath stuff, but I don't see multiple touchdowns being a thing of certainty for Ryan today. I think 250 and a touchdown.
Well, let me tell you something. What if Michael Turner takes him down to the 5-yard line? You don't think Tony Gonzalez is going to be open in the red zone against those linebackers? I mean, Philly, they can't stop tight ends. So that's why I think Tony Gonzalez is a good play also this week. So, look, maybe he won't throw for 3, but I think he might be good for 2 touchdowns this week.
Yeah, I think that's the max.
Speaking of tight ends, non-DPR, Ross, your boy, Fred Davis or Dustin Keller, who's it going to be?
Davis did hook me up last week.
I think
the Jets are going to be able to do whatever they want, and I think that Keller has a penchant for excelling like the first 5 games of the season. I'm not ready to anoint Fred Davis the man yet. I think it's a matchup thing. I liked it last week. I don't necessarily like it as much this week, and I like it. Look, first 4 games of the season, you have to start Keller and you should start Sanchez. Those guys get out of the gate very quickly. So I'm by a tick, I'm going to go with Keller this week.
And I agree with you. I like what the Jets – I think the Jets are going to rumble all over. I know that some people here in New York are calling it a trap game. I think the Jets are going to smash the Jaguars. I think that game is going to be a joke. We'll talk about that later on. But, Rev, question came in. St. Louis wants to know – well, they want to know, in St. Louis, who has more upside from the receiving corps, I guess, over the long haul, Greg Salas, Mike Sims-Walker, or Brandon Gibson? Which guy offers the most fantasy football potential here?
I'm going to go with Brandon Gibson myself. I mean, I know he's not a big name, but, you know, this guy during the summer, he had a lot of competition. They brought in like 1,000 receivers on that team, and he earned himself a starting job. And then last week they went to him. I know he had 3 passes, and they threw to him in the end zone as well. They broke up that pass. They called a pass interference call. So this, the guy is seeing – he is getting some looks, and he nearly scored last week, and he did look good in the preseason. I'm going to go with Brandon Gibson.
All right. Ross, quickly, you like Sims-Walker or Brandon Gibson there for the Rams?
I think for this week I like Gibson, but over the course of the season I think I'm going to like Mike Sims-Walker as he acclimates to that offense.
Yeah, I could see that. I think Salas should throw out the window, rookie and all, you know. He's going to redshirt this year. Ross, another wide receiver question. Needs 2 of these guys. Robert Meacham, Kenny Britt, Hakeem Nicks. Who are you putting on the bench?
I'm putting Nicks on the bench, and it doesn't even take me a second to do it. If you have other options,
really?
Okay. Then waiting for the late game on Monday, you know, the latest game of the week, I think you take it. Nicks could play 2 plays, decide he's hurt. I don't like that situation at all. I don't like to worry whether or not my guy's going to play. And I am worried about that for Nicks. I think he'll probably play, but he's going to be half of himself.
Yeah, it makes sense to me. I know. I mean, you got Colston out in New Orleans, so Meacham is a good play. Agree, Rev? Meacham and Britt over Nicks this week.
Yeah. I mean, you don't know what you're going to get out of Nicks. Even if he does play, he might end up being a decoy for all you know. So, yeah, I'm going to go with those 2 guys.
All right, running back question for the Rev. Felix Jones or Cedric Benson, 2 guys that I'm not really in love with.
I agree, but you know something? I might just go with Benson this week, and I'll tell you why. Felix Jones typically doesn't play well on the road. You know, I mean, in 18 starts, this guy's only scored 3 touchdowns on the road, and based on those numbers, I'd rather go with Benson. And you take a look at that Denver defense, even though Benson isn't a great player, they're all banged up there. You know, they're missing guys like Elvis Dumervil, Champ Bailey, DJ Williams at linebacker. And so I'm going to go with Benson this week.
All right. I buy it. I'm sold. Robert Meacham or Plaxico Burress, Ross? A lot of people would side in with Plaxico here, but I kind of tend to believe, you know, I view Plaxico Burress more as a gimmick in that offense. And, yeah, he'll score an occasional touchdown, but he'll also be a decoy a lot of times. And Robert Meacham is starting as the number 1 guy in New Orleans. And personally, I like Robert Meacham, but tell me why I'm crazy.
Well, I don't think you're crazy. I think it's pretty close. But, you know, as New Orleans has proven time and time again, even if you're the number 1 option, there are still 5 other options on that team between Sproles and Graham and Henderson and Ingram and everybody, Thomas touching the ball. With, you know, Santonio Holmes banged up, and to be honest, I think he'll probably give it a go today, but I think the Jets coaching staff is going to decide that, you know, discretion is the better part of valor. I don't think they need Holmes to risk a serious injury to beat Jacksonville, and that leaves Burress as the main man. And, you know, he looked, as much as I don't want to say that he did, he looked pretty lively and pretty youthful last week. I see him getting it done today against Jacksonville, and I like him just a little better than Meacham. Just because of the options, if Holmes was healthy, I'd probably go with Meacham, but he's not. So I think Burress is going to have to step it up, get more targets this week from Sanchez, who I also think is going to have a good game today.
Well, let's ask a Jets fan, Meacham or Burress, Rev?
I think I'm going to go with Burress, only because that could be a tricky game there for Meacham. He's going up against the cover 2 defense. They take away the big play,
yeah.
And that's what Meacham is. He's a big play type of guy. So I think that I might go with Burress. I'll go with Burress because even though he doesn't have a great game, he's such a big threat in the red zone, And let's face it, that Jacksonville secondary isn't any good, and they're going to be missing Derek Cox this week as well. So I'm going to go with Burris.
All right. I'm not sold on the Plaxico yet, but he proved me wrong week one. So I didn't even talk dirty about him or talk no trash, but I wasn't believing inside my head he was going to score a touchdown. Dwayne Bowe, Santana Moss, or Steve Smith from Carolina? Dave's been confused. No need for confusion here because Steve Smith is back. I'm telling you, I've been trying to tell people that Steve Smith is going to have a bounce back here. I'm going to ride the hot hand. Why not?
Yeah, Tremont Williams hurt too, right?
Yeah, and you know, is Cam Newton the real deal? We'll talk about that when we break down Carolina. We've got one more question in the chat that we're going to go over to our game previews, Rev. Flex option, half a point for PPR. It's got the Cadillac, McGahee, Ben Tate, Mike Sims-Walker, or Brandon Pettigrew. Those last two options, not so appealing, but Cadillac, McGahee, Tate, Mike Sims-Walker, or Pettigrew, which one guy do you like for your flex?
To me, it comes down to either Cadillac or Willis McGahee, and I can't trust Willis McGahee because he's a guy that he's never been a feature. He hasn't been a feature back now over the past 2 or 3 years. You don't know how he's going to hold up in that game. I'm going to go with Cadillac Williams. Cadillac Williams is not the most durable guy either, but he looked fresh last week, so I'm going to ride the hot hand and go with Cadillac Williams.
All right, and Taz in the chat room is making some bold predictions, calling Cadillac a top 10 fantasy running back this week. Hopefully we can get him on the show towards the end and come debate that one. All right. You know, if you're in the chat room, Dynasty Blitz, I love you and all. But if you're in the chat room asking about Rex Grossman and John Beck questions, I mean, we're just not going to waste our time on it. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be rude or anything like that, but we just don't have time for Rex Grossman or John Beck questions. All right, we do have time for our next game preview, which is the Cleveland Browns traveling into the Indianapolis Colts, Rev. And, you know, the Browns had trouble with the Bungles last week. How are they going to fare against a team that looked even worse in Indianapolis?
Yeah, this is an ugly game. But the stud here is Peyton Hillis. Not Peyton Manning, but Peyton Hillis. The Colts defense is ill-equipped to stop the run, as evidence of how this unit surrendered 167 yards and 2 touchdowns to Houston's running backs last week. To add insult to injury, Gary Brackett, your best and most active defender last week, is out with a shoulder injury. And new addition Ernie Sims is also out of this game as well. Cabell Connor, the weak side linebacker, is dealing with a foot ailment, which makes him questionable. And, you know, when Peyton Manning was around, the Colts could focus on getting after the quarterback, but those days are over. This is not a good run defense. Peyton Hillis is going to run all over them. He's going to trample them. And so he is, as a matter of fact, in my rankings, I have Peyton Hillis as the number 2 overall running back this week after Ray Rice. So don't have any hesitations there with Peyton Hillis. The dud here is the flying Frenchman, the Haitian sensation, Pierre Garçon. Very talented player, but the presence of Kerry Collins at quarterback is destroying his fantasy value. Collins is a slow-footed guy. He doesn't move well in the pocket, which limits the passing game. And Reggie Wayne is going to get most of the targets there. And the other thing to look at here is Garçon is probably going to be going up against Joe Hayden for most of the game since Hayden doesn't play on Reggie Wayne's side. And, you know, Hayden is a guy who's developing into a shutdown corner. He was great last week. The sleeper here is Joseph Addai. He does have some flex value, primarily as a pass catcher out of the backfield. Addai looked quick last week, averaging just under 5 yards per carry. I wouldn't recommend Joseph Addai in a touchdown league. I would recommend him in a PPR league. He is your sleeper this week. I do like Cleveland, though, just based on the fact that Peyton Hillis is going to have a huge day. I'll go Cleveland 23, Indianapolis 15.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't know what they're going to do at that quarterback position, Ralph. Any idea? I mean, how long can they stick by Kerry Collins' side? I mean, I don't know if they're going to throw Curtis Painter in there or go and get somebody else. But is it possible that Kerry Collins is going to start more than five games? I can't see it.
Well, they're going to hope that he's going to get more comfortable in that offense. But the problem is that that offensive line is not any good. It's a reconfigured offensive line. And I don't think that offensive line is going to give him adequate protection. And so, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I don't think he's going to stick around for more than about maybe four or five, maybe six games tops.
Yeah,
yeah,
you
I mean,
think, you
guys,
know, with
what, you know,
Gerard.
Collins wasn't great last week. I mean, what, 200 yards and a touchdown? He caught the ball up a couple times. But it's not like he was Donovan McNabb bad, and we're not all saying, why isn't Christian Ponder going to start? Give the guy some time.
Oh, look, I'm giving him time. I'm giving him time, but the problem is that I don't like that offensive line either. I think they're going to blitz him to death. When you got a guy there who's a sitting duck and is useless outside of the pocket, I mean, those defenses are just, they're like sharks smelling blood in the water.
Absolutely.
Kerry Collins is there.
That's why they're going 6-10. But, you know, it Collins is definitely going to be the most competent choice they have.
Okay, but I don't even see him surviving the whole year. That's the thing.
Yeah.
All right. That's more realistic to me.
Colts fans, do not hold your breath. Carolina Panthers fans as well. We just mentioned Cam Newton just a few minutes ago. Big week, 422 yards passing, something like that, Russ. But gets to play the defending champions this week, and we know that ferocious 3-4 defense is going to be a whole nother story, ain't it?
Yeah, Dom Capers is going to send Cam Newton a little reality check this week. Rookie QBs have not fared very well against the Dom Capers D. You know, you got the triumvirate in Green Bay. You might have to add a fourth there, but to Rodgers, Jennings, and Finley. I love James Starks today against that soft Carolina defense, which is now, you know, marshmallow soft without middle linebacker John Beeson gone for the year. I mean, if you could pick one guy out of the defense you wanted to be missing, obviously, you know, he would be it. It's just tragic for Carolina. I know it's a lost season for Beeson. Look, I think Starks is easily a top 20 back and is distancing himself from Ryan Grant with his blocking ability, and he just looked to have more pep in his step than Grant. And I know Grant's coming off an injury and it may come, but, you know, this is Green Bay. This is Titletown. We can't be waiting for you to get ready. If you're not ready, you're playing second fiddle. I kind of like D'Angelo Williams in this game, but not that much. I think Carolina's going to run the ball very often, despite what Cam Newton did last week. That is who they are. And week one shouldn't make you think otherwise. This is not going to be a case where Carolina wants to get into a shootout with Aaron Rodgers and company. Could see D'Angelo having 85 yards rushing and a touchdown in this game. Look, the dud to me is, Rick, your boy, turf toe Johnny Stewart. You know, he's gone from being a 1A to now a definite 2. This is not a timeshare any longer. They gave Williams the money. They're not going to rush Stewart as much as they have in the past. Plus, the defensive matchup makes this a situation where I don't think you want to put Jonathan Stewart on the field for yourself. And the sleeper in this game, look, I don't know if you could even call this guy a sleeper after the Super Bowl and week one, but Jordy Nelson, man, I don't care what you call him, you put him in the lineup today. He's got great size at 6'3", and I guess what, about 220, maybe 215, maybe I'm giving him five extras. And James Jones was invisible last week. You know, he doesn't seem to have the same chemistry with Aaron Rodgers as Nelson does. And I like Jordy Nelson. And, you know, let's touch on Cam Newton a little bit. Let's not get carried away with that Rick Kevin Moss-like performance of Cam Newton week one. I know it was good. He impressed me. I didn't think he'd have a game like that his entire career. I was wrong. But let's keep the Hall of Fame plaque on hold for the time being here, especially in this game, because Green Bay is going to open up a can and a half in this one. 42-14 Packers.
Even Kent Graham threw for 500 yards once.
Yeah, and Ota's out too. That hurts the Panthers' running game a little bit.
All right. Thank you for that breakdown, Ross, and a little Kevin Moss reference. He was at Old Timers Day this year.
I saw that.
So let's do this. Let's go back over to the chat room, get caught up on some questions over there. Since we can't escape Rex Grossman, another Rex Grossman question. This one is actually interesting because He wants to know Rex Grossman or Matt Ryan, and we talked about that Eagles matchup could be dangerous, Ross. Who do you like, Sexy Rexy or Matty Ice?
I think it's close. You know, I'm going to have to give Grossman a little bit of an advantage here, believe it or not. I like Grossman a couple points better than Ryan today.
Reverend, what was going on at early morning mass this morning for us to be sitting here talking about starting Rex Grossman over Matty Ice today?
Yeah, you know something. You got to look at the matchup, though. And the Arizona Cardinals are just not that good in the secondary. They really disappointed me last week. But if you really take a look at it, they have a rookie cornerback in Patrick Peterson who's still looking kind of dazed and confused out there. And they have two safeties that are past their prime and just can't run that fast anymore. So if they allow, you know, hey, look, logically you look at it, if they allow Cam Newton to score or pass for over 400 yards, why can't Rex Grossman have at least 300 yards and about two or three touchdowns? I'd rather go with Rex Grossman over Ryan this week.
Oh, we got the Rex Grossman fan club over here on Fantasy Football Insiders. Crowded out bandwagon, baby. Sexy Rexy. Ooh, he brought the bands to the big show. Now he's going to bring the skins to the big show. Woo! All right. Flex position. Cadillac, Gahee, Adai, Burleson, Jacobs, or Lance Moore. And I'm going to take this one and say that this is a tough question. And although I do like Brandon Jacobs, he disappointed me thoroughly last week. So I'm going to throw him out the mix. And as much as I do like Willis McGahee this week, personally I would start McGahee, but I think the consensus here would probably be Cadillac. I know Taz is high on the Cadillac this week. And that Giants defense is just so damn terrible up the middle that I might actually – I can't fault you for starting Cadillac, but, you know, sometimes you go with your gut, and I like McGahee, but if you go Cadillac, I don't blame you. And then there's an easy question like this. Miles Austin, Vincent Jackson, Brandon Marshall, Cedric Benson, James Starks. You need three? The first three look good to me. You want to make a case for Benson or Starks over Brandon Marshall? I can see it. They're running backs, but I can't put any confidence in either one of those guys. Brandon Marshall, say what you want about the man, he's capable of catching 20 on any given Sunday. He's shown that before in the past. Woo! Ross, flex position, Mario Manningham or Willis McGahee, non-PPR, with the whole Hakeem Nicks injury. Manningham looking good to over McGahee here?
Absolutely. I love Mario Manningham this week. I think he's a top 10 receiver, believe it or not. Rams are banged up. Knicks is banged up. Eli's going to throw the ball. There's no tight end to throw to. Dominic Hickson's not exciting me. Manningham all day, all night. I love him this week.
All right, I don't disagree. Tight end question, rank him, Rev. Jermaine Gresham, my boy. Let me take a second to pat myself on the back. Out-producing superstar Jimmy Graham last week. I told you he was going to do that. Jermaine Gresham, Lance Kendricks, Brent Seelick. How do you rank these three, Rev?
Yeah, you rank Gresham number one, Kendricks number two, and Brent Seelick number three. Brent Seelick is nothing but a glorified offensive lineman these days, and he stayed in to block, I think, for over 50% of the time. He really didn't get out into routes. I know that Michael Vick said he was going to throw him the ball more this year, and I haven't seen any signs of that in the first week. I think he only had three targets and one catch last week, so I'm going to go with Gresham, Kendricks, and Seelick.
Okay, moving right along here, Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show, Triple R Connection, Rick Ross and Ralph, breaking it down for the people. PPR needs a flex, Ross, needs a flex here. Felix Jones, Willis McGahee, Cadillac Williams, and I'm not even going to talk about Nate Burleson, Devon Bess, or Brandon Gibson because you have running back options here. I tend to side with the running backs. I could be wrong, but Felix Jones, Willis McGahee, Cadillac Williams also has Burleson, Bess, and Gibson. Which one guy are you going to start this week and throw it all on the line for, Ross?
I'm opening the couch cushions, looking behind them, and finding the keys to the Cadillac hidden because I'm going with Cadillac Williams this week. I'm very high in him, maybe not as high as Taz, But I saw him last week. He looked like a new man to me. I mean, he had some sort of fuel injection into the Cadillac last week. He looked lively. I think he's going to be very happy. He's going to have an opportunity to play in the bright lights, stepping in for Steven Jackson, who I don't think is going to play if he plays at all. He's not going to play that much. I like Cadillac Williams. I think he's in the passing game, he's going to see touches. In the running game, he's going to see touches. Not a lot of live offensive bodies for the Rams, and I just think Williams is going to be worked hard and often, and I like him a lot this week.
Get the Cadillac out of the shack, because he's back. Oh, okay. All right, Rev, needs to, LeGarrette Blount, Javid Best, James Starks. I know you went for the Dutch Master sponsorship earlier in the show. I think this is a no-brainer. Blount and Best over Starks. I mean, NFL Draft Bible favorite James Starks, but hey, this is fantasy football. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, I agree, but I don't think it's as close as you make it. I mean, it's not as easy as you make it sound. I think Starks is going to have a great day today. Matchups. Starks has the best matchup here, I think, but I'll stick with Blount and Best just because, you know, Ryan Grant is there also, and they have a lot of other weapons to spread the ball out to. So I'll go with Blount and Best, but it's not an easy choice.
Ross, agree or disagree?
I disagree. I like Starks over Blount just
really?
By a little bit. But again,
wow.
What's that?
I'm shocked. Really?
Well,
okay.
I mean, look, I think LeGarrette Blount is a nice back, but as Rev said, it's about matchups, and although the Vikings aren't a brick wall, I didn't necessarily like what I saw from the Tampa offense last week. They looked a little confused, and I know that Green Bay is not going to be confused. I know they're going against a terrible team defensively, and to me, I liked what I saw from Starks and Green Bay more than I liked what I saw out of Blount in Tampa Bay.
Okay, all right. I see it. You're showing me the light. Fantasy Football Insiders radio show going around the league, stud duds and sleeper style, breaking it down. If you are late to the big show, you can always go back to the archives on All Access Football, check out the show, get all the game previews. We're about halfway down, commercial free. Seattle at Pittsburgh, Ralph, something tells me this has the makings of a big-time blowout as the Steelers at home take on the Seahawks, who are traveling across the country to get their fanny works.
Yeah, the stud here is Mr. Rashard Mendenhall. I spoke about him before. He is the obvious start here. Coming off a dismal 45-yard outing versus Baltimore last week, although Pittsburgh has some injuries along the O-line, the Steelers will control this game throughout, and it will be the Mendenhall show once the black and gold put up some early points. I also like the Pittsburgh defense here. Now, a lot of people, you know, maybe they're discouraged. Don't be discouraged by last week's performance. The Steelers D has been put into some bad spots. They were put into some bad spots last week thanks to some turnovers. Dick LeBeau's group goes up versus quite possibly the worst offense in the NFL. And what hurts Seattle a lot is the lack of a go-to number one receiver, since Sidney Rice, big surprise, is hurt once again. The dud here is Marshawn Lynch. This guy's just not that good. You know, while I thought he was promising when he first burst onto the scene out of Cal, he seems to be getting worse. You know, Lynch is a plodding back with no elusiveness. He only mustered 33 yards versus San Francisco. And against the Steelers, he might be lucky to get 25 yards. The sleeper here, I'll give you Emmanuel Sanders. I get the feeling that the coaching staff likes Sanders a little bit better than Antonio Brown, who appears to be distracted at times and isn't as skilled a route runner as Sanders is. The other thing about Sanders is he's just a more polished guy. He goes versus a Seattle secondary that isn't very deep and is prone to mistakes. I like Pittsburgh here, 38-13, and to be quite honest with you, I don't see how Seattle even puts up 13 points in this game, but I'm in a good mood, and I'm going to give them 13 points, but Pittsburgh wins this one going away.
You're going to give them the benefit of the doubt, Rev, maybe a special teams touchdown from Leon Washington?
There you go.
All right, yeah, this game is what I like to say is going to be Bubba Sparks ugly, baby. Baltimore, who just spanked Pittsburgh last week, is now going to travel into Tennessee to take on the Titans, Ross. So what do you got in this matchup for us?
Well, I got lots, baby. Look, you know, Joe Flacco looked phenomenal last week against a much better defense than this. I think you ride him while he's hot. Obviously, Ray Rice, and as we have said, Rick, very possibly the number one fantasy football running back. He shredded the Steelers last week, just shredded them all over the field. He's going to do the same with his all-around game against the Titans. We all know it. Chris Johnson owners, step back off the bridge. Don't jump. He's not going to go off this week, but I think, you know, he's going to get 25.
He will get injured.
He's going to get 25 touches. He's going to get a little bit of production this week. I think this is the week that if you don't have Chris Johnson, you're kind of rooting for him to do nothing, and then you want to lowball someone on a trade offer for him, because the next two games against Denver and Cleveland, we could be talking 500 yards in those two games put together, and he's going to be untouchable after that. I love the Baltimore defense. You know, Hasselbeck is a turnover waiting to happen in this game for me. Not exactly the most mobile guy. The Ravens are smelling blood, playing with a ton of confidence. You got to play them, top three unit. Anquan Boldin already seems to have benefited from Lee Evans' arrival, even if Evans hasn't benefited from it. I know he's got a banged-up ankle, Evans. But I expect another touchdown this week versus a shaky Tennessee pass defense. Kenny Britt, we mentioned, you got to start him. He went nuts last week. And look, I know the Baltimore defense is going to have a good game, but Britt's going to get his. It's not like Mike Wallace didn't produce in week one against this unit. The duds, I mentioned Matt Hasselbeck. Tennessee offensive line could barely keep Jacksonville off of him last week. What are they going to do against the Ravens? Not a lot. I mentioned Lee Evans' ankle. He had zeros across the board in week one, a little dinged up. I need to see him produce first. The guy hasn't had a game with more than three receptions since last Halloween. I'm just saying, you got to take a wait and see with this guy. He's looking like the fork might not be in him, but I think someone's opening the cabinet to get it. The sleeper in this one for me, and I've been waiting and waiting for this guy, and he finally hooked me up last week, and that's Ed Dixon. Paid off last week, five catches, 60 yards, a touchdown. He looked like a different player than he did last year. I like the matchup in this one for the Baltimore tight end. I think I'd use him, obviously, over Mercedes Lewis, who's not going to play, Chris Cooley, who's supposedly coming back, but now he's going to take a backseat to Fred Davis. So I'd like Dixon if you need a tight end this week. Baltimore Ravens win this one rather comfortably, 27-10.
And I'll add this to the whole equation, because I said it, remember, you heard it here first. When you miss all of the training camp preseason and then think you're going to just, you know, face the Baltimore Ravens defense is going to smack Chris Johnson upside his head. Did you see him running around the field last week, that Ravens defense? I think Chris Johnson gets hurt in week two.
Oh.
And I'm looking through my crystal ball. I stole the crystal ball, Ross. I think Chris Johnson's going down today.
Really? All right.
Just a hunch.
Bad mojo.
Hey.
Bad mojo predicting injuries, man.
Speaking of Kenny Britt, we had a question. Which two wide receivers, Rev? Dez Bryant, who I believe is not playing. Jeremy Maclin, Kenny Britt, Steve Smith, or Lance Moore? Maclin was very disappointing for me last week. Lance Moore is a hit-or-miss kind of guy. I'm going to ride the hot hand with Steve Smith and go Kenny Britt here. Do you agree or disagree?
Pick two out of these guys, you said?
Yep.
Yeah, you know, I do like Lance Moore if he plays, but he's coming off an injury. I think I'm going to go with Britt and Smith myself.
Ross, do you drop Jacoby Ford, one of our favorites, but he didn't do too much last week, if I recall. Do you drop him and pick up Robert Meacham? Good or bad move?
Yeah. Look, Ford's already hurt. I don't know that I'd do that. I really like Jacoby Ford a little much to just cut him right away. I know he's got a bad hamstring, and that's bothering me a little bit because he seems like the kind of kid who would be like, yeah, I'm fine, and come back too soon. I wouldn't do that, but I might have my finger on the trigger to do it. It's a tough call. If you don't believe in Jacoby Ford like we do, I think you make that move, but I have a little faith in the guy. I think he'll come back and have a good season.
Rev, Meacham or Ford, who do you like long haul?
I would not drop Ford. This guy, whoever's asking the question, needs to tell me who else he has on his roster before I can answer that question, because Jacoby Ford is a star in the making, and you know that they're going to use him a lot once he's healthy. I'm not it's too early to drop him.
Well, he's saying for Meacham, right?
Well, for Meacham, I mean, yeah, Meacham is a nice player too, but I mean, he's going to be as good as, you know, Colston is, and as long as Colston is out, you start Meacham. I understand that. But, look, I have to know who else is on his roster.
Yeah,
to answer that question.
All right, let us know in the chat room, and maybe we'll come and revisit it. This next one, I really don't like the options they're giving us here, Ross. Jacoby Jones or Jason Snelling? He got, you know, he's got this whole Brandon Lloyd dilemma is going on.
Well, we don't know
Jones.
If Brandon Lloyd's playing or not, though. He might be playing today.
Right.
I think
he did practice on Friday.
You can't be putting Jason Snelling in the lineup. Jacoby Jones is starting receiver for one of the best offenses in the league. You got to go with him.
Yeah, and I'm going to throw out a player that might be out there on the waiver wire.
Don't say Victor Cruz.
we got Brandon Stokely in the house now. No, I'm going to go over to D.C. Everybody tooting that sexy Rexy horn. There's a forgotten man out there. His name is Jabbar Gaffney.
Yeah,
worth a flyer.
PPR.
Hey, can I throw out a name? What about Eric Decker?
Yeah.
No, that's my boy.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Brandon Marshall or Mike Williams, Rev, PPR league from Tampa Bay. Mike Williams.
Yeah, I have a problem going with Marshall, but I know he has the better matchup here. Look, matchups wise, Marshall is the guy to go with.
I don't know if Marshall has the better matchup.
Well, I say better matchup because I think they're going to put more points up in that game with Houston and Miami.
Right.
Yeah, so that's
why I think there's more potential
for him to score. But I love Mike Williams, and I start him each and every week. It's more of a personal thing with me and Mike Williams. And I mean, but I think matchups-wise, you know, the smart money says go with Marshall.
Mm. All right.
Agree or disagree there,
Ross. Williams.
All right. I guess I'm the tiebreaker. I'm going to go Brandon Marshall just because I like Mike Williams and all, but they kind of spray the ball around Josh Freeman over there. That's all. Flex position, Ross. Adai or Cadillac this week?
Cadillac. Better matchup. Quite frankly, looking like a better player, better offensive line. Just like his matchup much better.
I agree. All right, Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show, Triple R Connect, Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Manfini, breaking it down for the people. 45 minutes left to go in the big show. Got Fantasy Taz holding down the chat room. Definitely appreciate that. We're going to try to get through the game previews, get him on towards the end of the show, hopefully. And it's time for the next game. And that is Arizona Cardinals with their Kevin Cobb quarterback traveling into D.C. with their Rex Grossman quarterback.
Yeah, and I do like Rex Grossman as a stud this week, believe it or not. The 31-year-old signal caller is far from perfect, and in fact, he is susceptible to fumbles and interceptions. But the fact is, this man has been red hot since last December. The artist formerly known as Car Rex has thrown for 300 or more yards in three of his last four starts. Arizona, on the other hand, has looked very vulnerable in the secondary so far. Patrick Peterson is very raw. The safeties look old, and they made things just way too easy for Cam Newton last week as he went on to post 422 passing yards. The dud here, and this is a week-to-week guy. I liked him last week. I don't like him this week, and that's Chris Beanie Wells. Don't be fooled by Wells' 5.0 yards per carry average versus a soft Carolina run defense last week. The Redskins are a different animal. The Jim Haslett-led defense nullified the Giants' running attack. And while Wells is capable of great performances every now and then, he's more likely or most likely to disappoint. In 2010, he was under 4 yards per carry in 10 of 13 games. He is a matchups guy, and this is not a great matchup. Sleeper here, I got a couple of sleepers. Number one, I'm going to go with that Washington defense. They have a tough front seven, And Kevin Cobb can be a bit of a risk taker. I think there are going to be some turnovers there to be had. I do like Fred Davis also.
Mm.
And this is probably the last time I have him as a sleeper. He brings more speed to the table than Cooley. He's a decent route runner, and Arizona's safeties can't be beaten in coverage. Let's not forget, Carolina's tight ends last week had 7 receptions for 129 yards, and I do like Washington in this game. I'll go Redskins 28, Arizona 20.
All right. I get the Redskins winning the NFC East. Call me crazy, but
crazy.
That's just me. Let's see. I also predicted the Kansas City Chiefs would win the AFC West last year. All right, enough patting myself on the back. I did say JT O'Sullivan was going to be a bust-out player 1 year as well. So
you got half of that phrase, right?
Yeah, there you go, JT O show. I miss him. Ross, I don't know if there's ever been in the history of the entire show where you've actually gotten to break down a Jets game. And here it is, the big performance against the Jacksonville Jaguars, which is going to be a snoozer in the Meadowlands, I believe. Jay Glazer of Fox Sports reporting Mercedes Lewis won't play due to a calf injury. That is confirmed just minutes ago. Take it away, Ross.
Did Glazer report that from a Subway outlet? listen. The Jets D, everybody might think they're going to go off today, and I like them today, but I don't love them because I think Jacksonville is just going to run the ball. I don't think it's going to be a lot, as usual, opportunity for the Jets to rack up sacks and INTs against Luke McCown. So temper your expectations for that Jet D. They'll keep the points and yardage down, but I don't think they're going to be, you know, in a feast of turnovers and sacks. I like Plax, as I mentioned, Plaxico Burress. The Jacksonville pass defense is weak. Santonio Holmes is banged up. Inside the red zone is where Burris excels, and I think the Jets are going to spend an awful lot of time in the red zone today. I kind of like Sean Green today. I think the Jets know very well that they did not run the ball enough or as effectively as they should have against the Cowboys. I think I'm ready to roll the dice with Green one more time here. I think he gets about 16, 17 rushing attempts this week. I think he'll find the end zone once. I'm not sold on that Jacksonville run D. I don't care what they did last week, especially when you know that Rex Ryan wants to run the ball. He does not want to pass the ball 100 times like he did in week one, and I'm pretty sure that he drilled that into his team this week. So I'd look for Green to have a pretty decent game this week. Maurice Jones-Drew, he could get a better matchup. You got to start him. I don't think you can expect an awful lot. The Jet D is solid against the run, especially when they have absolutely no fear of the opposition's passing game, as they won't this week. I think MJD is going to have 70 yards and a touchdown, which is not a bad day at the office against the Jets. I think the dud here, and I got him on my team and it's killing me, but I don't like what I'm hearing about Santonio Holmes. You know, he banged up his knee against the Cowboys. He was all right, but then he hurt his quad this week in practice. He's listed as questionable. I don't necessarily think the Jets need to risk him this week. I don't think you don't either if you have another option at the position. The other dud on the other wideout spot, and that's Mike Thomas. I just think the equation of Luke McCown and the Jet secondary equals a bad day for a talented guy. He's the target there, but I don't know that that means necessarily anything, especially with Mercedes Lewis doubtful, not going to play, taking away a little bit of attention. It's going to be a tough day for Mike Thomas. For me, the sleeper, and I'm only going to say this until week four, and that's tight end Dustin Keller. I think he's going to feast off some play-action pass here. I think the run's going to set that up, especially in the red zone. I think I'd like he's going to score a touchdown today. I like the chemistry he and Sanchez both seem to excel early in the season. They're on the same wavelength. I think you take advantage of that situation now and then sell high. I think the Jets, probably an uneven performance today. They're going to be a little distracted by how simple it's going to be. I like the Jets 24-10 over the Jaguars.
24-10 is right on the fence of that Vegas line.
Oh,
Ross,
is it?
I think it is 14. So
wow.
You got to push. All right. you know, here on this show, I like to diss Tony Romo, and it's been a
if only he would do something
for...
that would let you.
Well, it's been a hobby of mine for quite some time on this show, and you know, I have to admit, for those of you who don't know, by the way, you can catch me down at Miami Mike's in East Hanover, New Jersey, one of the best sports bar on the planet, period. But I'm usually hanging out in the front by where they sell the jerseys, where you walk in, come say hello. The Fantasy Football Insider Show is now invading Miami Mike's, East Hanover, New Jersey, Route 10. Come see me anytime, baby. But one of my fun moments of last week was actually really getting into a heated debate with this guy about Tony Romo. This was before the game even started. And I was trying to explain to him why John Kitna is better than Tony Romo, because the man wins games. And, you know, you can laugh all you want. When John Kitna comes into the huddle, the whole demeanor of the team changes. And you know what? I got killed at the sports bar. And then it was funny. After the Cowboys game last week, nobody had nothing to say. And, you know, I got to say, it was enjoyable to watch. I think Tony Romo's a bum. I think he might be the worst starting quarterback in the league. Oh, and I remember when this game used to mean something, Rev. And I'll tell you what, Tony Romo's starting job is going to be in trouble if they lose to the San Francisco 49ers today.
Well, to give you a preview of this game, I do like Tony Romo as a stud. Look, as much as we killed him last week, Tony Romo was the main reason why Dallas lost last week, okay? I'll admit that. But he still put up good fantasy numbers. He completed 64% of his passes, 342 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And he should have an easier time versus San Francisco, who gave up 2 touchdowns to Tavares Jackson, out of all people, in week 1. And if Des Bryant can't play, that only means better numbers for Miles Austin and Jason Witten. And the dud here is Braylon Edwards. Yeah, he can always make the acrobatic play in the end zone, but the fact is his success is tied to Alex Smith, and that makes him very unappealing. Smith didn't take many chances last week. He only connected on 20 passes for 124 yards, no touchdowns, and he's playing behind a porous offensive line. Those factors do not bode well for Braylon Edwards versus a Rob Ryan defense that can bring the heat. The sleeper here is the Dallas defense. Their secondary is banged up with injuries to Orlando Scandrick, Terrence Newman, blah, 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 Mike Jenkins. But the pass rush led by DeMarcus Ware should be able to pressure the quarterback and force some turnovers, get some sacks. And in fantasy football, it's all about sacks and turnovers. I do like Dallas in this game, 30-10.
Wow. I don't see that. I don't know. I think Dallas is really a terrible team. I think the 49ers
are a terrible
team.
But they could score points and San Francisco can't. That's the difference.
Yeah, okay. I get it.
Dallas should have beaten the Jets last week. You got to give them some credit.
Should have, would have, could have, but
well
they didn't, man.
Week.
When the game's on the line and clutch, you need a money play.
I understand, but I'm just saying, against inferior competition, you would think that they're just going to go out and easily beat San Francisco.
I'm just saying, Tony Romo doesn't deliver like the Noid. Remember the Noid from Domino's? That guy delivered.
Tony Romo delivered fantasy numbers last week, bro.
All right, man. Keep playing Tony Romo. I told you, if you draft him on your fantasy football team, you're going to be a loser this year. All right. Let's see. We got 5 games left to go, a half hour in the show, some chat room questions. Let me get caught up in the chat room real quick. We got some simple ones, I think. Needs one of these guys, Robert Meacham, Lance Moore, Deion Branch, Emmanuel Sanders, Nate Burleson. I'm going to give the slight edge to Deion Branch here. The next guy I would consider would be Meacham. I saw a lot of people in the chat room say Burleson, but I'm going to go Deion Branch over Meacham and Burleson. Does anybody disagree?
I'm going to go with Burleson. I'm going to go with Burleson because that Chiefs secondary, that defense is banged up. You know, without Eric Berry there, they're going to start a guy by the name of Rashard Langford, you know, out of Vanderbilt there. And I think that Kansas City is going to have their hands full. They don't know who they're going to cover. It's just going to get ugly out there. And I think Burleson's going to have some opportunities to do some damage this week.
Okay. Non-PPR, Ross, McGahee, Felix Jones, and Jordy Nelson. Which guy are you going to roll the dice with?
I'm going to roll the dice with Felix Jones this week. I think he's going to have more opportunities. I like McGahee inside the 10-yard line, but there's 90 other yards of field there. And I think Jones, especially if you're in a return league that has return yardage, I just think Jones is going to have a lot more touches, a lot more opportunities to rack up yards, and I think he'll find the end zone again this week.
I don't know. I like Willis McGahee. I think he's good for 2 touchdowns against the Bengals today, which is actually our next game that we will preview in a moment. You know, Kerry Collins has some Reggie Wayne owners scared, Rev. Would you go to the extreme and put Reggie Wayne on your bench and start Anquan Boldin and Santana Moss, your boy?
Would I bench Wayne in favor of Boldin?
And Santana Moss.
Yeah, I would. I think Wayne is going to get his numbers. I don't think he's going to win any games for you. I think Boldin and Moss have a better chance of putting up better numbers. I like Grossman, I like Flacco, and obviously I don't like Kerry Collins. So just based on the quarterback comparison, yeah, I would go with those other 2 guys over Wayne.
All right. Do you agree with that, Ross?
As a matter of fact, I do. I need to see the Colts do something productive before I'm ready to label any of their guys a guaranteed starter.
I'm going to make it a trifecta. Put Reggie Wayne on the bench. You shouldn't have drafted him this year. Mario Manningham or Plaxico Burress. To me, this is a no-brainer. Manningham is going to probably be the number one clear-cut guy, where Plaxico is like a 3 or 4 catch guy. Anybody disagree with that on me?
Nope.
All right, cool. Felix Jones or Javid Best, Ralph?
I'll go with Javid Best here. You know what I said about Felix Jones on the road? Until I see him put up a big game on the road, I'm going to go with Javid Best this week.
All right, Rev, I'm going to stick with you right there because Javid Best is in the next question. Needs to start 3 of these guys, and I'm actually going to put Best on the bench. Tell me if you agree or disagree. Arian Foster, Javid Best, Tim Hightower, Peyton Hillis. Which one player are you going to sit?
Well, to me, I'm definitely going to start Hightower and Hillis. And then it comes down to, do you want to start Foster or Best? And Foster's coming back off that injury.
Right.
I don't think he's going to see the full workload this week. You know, Ben Tate was just fantastic last Sunday. It comes down to Best and Foster. Oh, man, it's going to be tough, man. You know something? I'll go with Foster, but I'm not 100% sold on that, but I'll go with Foster.
All right, I tend to agree. Needs one of these guys, Ross. Jeremy Maclin, Anquan Boldin, or Steve Smith from Carolina, the hot hand. Which guy are you taking?
Wow. Those 3 guys are like ranked right next to each other. I liked what I saw from Steve Smith last week. Obviously, how could you not? I don't think the Ravens are going to be throwing the ball as much as the Panthers will. So I tend to lean towards Carolina Steve Smith.
Yeah, I agree. Joker's 99, always good to hear from you, pal. Wants to know, Joe Flacco or Jay Cutler, Rev?
Joe Flacco or Jay Cutler? Oh, you know something? I think I'll go with Jay Cutler this week just because I think Jay Cutler is going to need to throw the ball more in that game versus New Orleans. So I think Ray Rice is, it's probably not going to force Flacco to throw it out, to air it out too much this week. I'll go with Jay Cutler.
All righty, Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show each and every week, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the Blog Talk Radio Fantasy Sports Channel. I'm Rick Saratella. I'm joined by Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini. We're from the NFL Draft Bible. We're going around the league, breaking it down, stud duds and sleeper style like we do each and every week. Hey, if you missed the first half of the show, we're done at 10 o'clock over here. You still got 3 hours to go back and check out the archives. We're burning up in here, baby. Woo! Fall weather, says who? I'm on fire. All right, let's go. Cincinnati at Denver, Ross. Break it down for the people.
Oh, baby. Listen,
I was dead wrong about Cedric Benson last week. I think he looked pretty good. Denver's run defense, however, did not. But, you know, who's surprised about that? Rick, I know you're not surprised about that. Benson, 25 carries, 121 yards, and a touchdown last week. And I think you can expect something around the same this week. I know, again, I said it before, he's not Darren McFadden, but he looked good enough to rack up yards against that Denver defense for my money. I like Willis McGahee. I don't love him. You know, I don't think Noshon's going to go, so McGahee's going to be, or this Willis is going to be what Denver's talking about. Look, I think Brandon Lloyd's a little nicked up. Denver's going to run the ball a lot this week. I think McGahee, you know, something like 17 carries for 60 yards and a touchdown, if you're lucky, maybe two. I think the duds in this week, two dinged up Broncos here. Noshon Marino and Brandon Lloyd. I think you got to check on their status before the game. I think you can't start Kyle Orton if those guys are banged up. And let's not get carried away with the rookie phenom, A.J. Green, from Cincinnati. I know everybody saw that week one touchdown where the defense basically left the field, but that was his only catch of the game. So let's not get carried away with A.J. Green yet. I think you keep him on the bench for now, later in the season maybe, but not now. And the sleeper, got to tip the cap to R.I.C., Jermaine Gresham.
Uh-oh.
He was right. So far, Gresham looks pretty solid. Dalton loves him. Another TD is in the cards here. I also like Eric Decker for the Broncos with Lloyd banged up. Even without Lloyd banged up, he looked like he knew what he was doing on the field. And can't say that about a lot of Broncos as far as I'm concerned. I think he's a useful player to have. I think that Kyle Orton has confidence in him. I like Cincinnati in this game, guys, 23-16. I think they're a better team than Denver right now.
Wow. Okay. Well, I do think that Denver's defensive line is a little deceptive. It's not given the credit it deserves. And whoever's back there slinging the ball for Cincinnati could feel a little bit of pressure today. And I'm going to say, you know what, I'm going to make the Denver's defensive sleeper. I'm going to go the other way, and you know, I'm a little biased, but I like the Broncos to win this week. How about you, Ref?
No, I like Cincinnati in this game just because that Denver defense is way too banged up for me. I'll go Cincy 22, Denver 14.
Okay. I like it. The Reverend just giving predictions on the fly like that. I can't catch him off guard ever. The next game is probably the game of the week, but real quick. Schaub, Orton, or Grossman? Ralph, who do you like?
Schaub or Grossman?
Kyle Orton.
Oh, Kyle Orton. Well, I didn't like what I saw
options.
Kyle Orton last week. So to me, it comes down to either Schaub or Grossman. You know, I'm going to go with Schaub because I like what Tom Brady did against that Miami defense. That secondary, I think, is a little overrated out there in South Beach. I'm going to go with Schaub.
But do you think dropping Orton and picking up Grossman as your backup for the rest of the year is a good move?
Dropping Orton?
For Grossman.
Yeah, you know something? If I'm going to count on Kyle Orton being my quarterback late in the year, if I'm going to count on him being like even like a number two quarterback, I don't know if I could rest easy doing that because they have Tim Tebow there. They have Brady Quinn there. And you know, I don't think that team is all that good. The natives got restless last week already in week one calling for Tebow.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the story is there in Denver. And you know, it's like kind of almost like a week-to-week thing with Orton. If he doesn't perform, he's going to get benched most probably. And so it's not a good situation to be in. Yeah, I probably
like
would
that
pick
for
up Grossman.
Whole career, it seems. Yeah.
It
seems like that his whole career, Orton, everywhere he goes. Ross, Hightower or LeGarrette Blount? LeGarrette Blount looks like he's going to get about 15 carries a game, which kind of scares me. But who do you like here?
Yeah, I think you got to like Hightower in this matchup. I just think, as you said, he's probably going to touch the ball more. And, you know, he didn't look like a world beater last week, but he did manage to score a touchdown. I see him going over 100 total yards in this game, and I'm not sure Blount does that.
All right, moving forward, Rev, talking about that Arizona Cardinals situation, better value moving forward over the course of the season, Andre Roberts or early Doucette?
Oh, man. You know, I'd probably go with Andre Roberts just because, see, the problem with early Doucette is, and you can track this back to his days at LSU, this guy gets hurt a lot. He's just not very durable. I know that he put on weight in the off season and all of that, and that's great. And I think he's a decent guy, a decent player, but I don't have a lot of faith in him staying healthy if he has to be put in a major role, in a key role. So for that reason alone, I'd go with Andre Roberts.
Yeah, but yeah, right. For my money, would you agree that Doucette has more potential, more potential to have a game-breaking play or two a game?
Well, Andre Roberts can have game-breaking plays, too. You watched him last year against Dallas late in the season. You know, I like early Doucette. I think he's a great route runner. He's a quick guy. But I don't think he could do it over the long haul. I just haven't seen it from him, even back to his college days.
I don't really have a lot of faith in him. I don't have a lot of faith in either guy.
Yeah, I mean, Doucette's been around a while, too. If he was going to do something, he would have done it by now. That's just my opinion. But let's get back over to the game previews. Down the home stretch, 20 minutes to go. And, Rev, a lot of people looking forward to this matchup. San Diego Chargers traveling into New England to take on those mighty Patriots.
Yeah, you know something? I mean, I can't think of too many guys that want to bench in this game. I think it's going to be an all-out shootout between these two teams. Both quarterbacks make a lot of those receivers and tight ends very viable in this matchup. You know, the one guy who disappointed a little bit last week was Vincent Jackson, but I do like him this week. You know, he's going to be going up against a couple of young bucks out there, Devin McCourty and Rozai Dowling. I think that, you know, they can't be beaten, as proven last week with Chad Henne and Brandon Marshall hooking up for some plays. And then, you know, as bad as Jackson was or as underwhelming as he was last week, Jackson and Phillip Rivers, you know, they missed on a long touchdown last week. They almost scored. They almost connected there. And I think Rivers obviously is going to take a lot of shots in this one. So I do like Vincent Jackson as a stud in this game. And then as far as duds go, I'm going to go with another wide receiver, and his name is Chad Ochocinco. Had one catch all game long. This guy just has a lack of knowledge of the Patriot offense right now, and I don't think he's going to acquire that knowledge in just 1 week. I think if this guy is going to have a good game, he might have to wait. He might not even be around by the time this guy does actually get with the program.
Well,
so.
I wanted to ask you that, Ralph. I mean, do you think if Ochocinco does this for like 5-6 weeks in a row, do you think they just might cut him?
Yeah, I do think so. What I think is going to happen there, I think Bill Belichick is looking for an excuse to get rid of Chad Ochocinco and to bring in Randy Moss once again. You know, I think they are going to give him a couple of weeks to get with the program, as I said, but if this guy doesn't show anything, I mean, they really didn't give up anything to get this guy, so they're just going to let him walk, I think. And,
Darrell,
you know,
Owens also comes back from rehab.
What's that?
Darrell Owens.
Yeah, then you got Darrell Owens, too, right. He's another option. So, you know, and then obviously as far as sleepers go here, I'll go with Deion Branch, you know, I mean, this guy is the number two receiver there, among wide receivers there in New England. And the fact that Ochocinco is not being used much and doesn't know what he's doing out there yet, I think just helps Deion Branch. And I think that, you know, here's a guy who's a sneaky pick to score a touchdown in this game. I do like the Patriots in this game slightly. I do think the Chargers are going to score. I think it's going to be 34-31 Patriots. It's going to be a close, fun game. So get yourself your favorite beverage, sit back, relax, and enjoy. This is going to be a good one.
Yeah, this is going to be a shootout in the wild, wild east, baby. Whew. Who do you like to win this game, Ross?
I like the Pats to win something like, you know, 31-27. North Turner will make San Diego lose this game somehow.
All right. Before we get into the next game, Jokers, go with Frank Gore. I know you have Freddie Jackson, you got James Starks, Sean Green. Let's not get too cute now. Stick with Frank Gore, give it a go one more week. Thanks to G Money for the shout out in the chat room. Albert Breer reporting that Santonio Holmes will try to give it a go for week 2 against Jacksonville. Let's get to the next game. Houston looking to put some points on the board again against Miami Dolphins, Ross.
Well, I could see that happening in about 5 seconds. Look, Matt Schaub versus that pass defense, he's going to rebound from an average week one for sure. Andre Johnson goes without saying. Arian Foster, he's going to start. He's going to see 20 touches. That's going to be enough. It'll take some time for him to go nuts, but Miami's D is a nice way to start here. Brandon Marshall, 7 for 139 last week. I don't think you can expect that yardage, but I think you can expect a touchdown. I think he's a solid number two receiver this week. Reggie Bush is a flex play. Dump-off passes, not rushing yards, is where he's going to make it. 3.5 yards a carry in, you know, a half a workload in week one. Those guys need a back, and I think they're finding out Daniel Thomas, who's still recovering from a hamstring, isn't exactly going to be it. He was terrible in the preseason. I wouldn't touch him with a 10-footer. I like Owen Daniels. He didn't get a lot of looks last week because they had the lead, but do not forget about him, especially after what the New England tight ends did against the Dolphins. The dud here, look, I'm not nearly sold on Chad Henne. He's not going to have another huge game. Miami's going to try to run the ball more. You can forget 400 yards like Henne had last week. He'll be lucky to have 200 yards in this game. Sleeper here is the Houston Texans defense. I expect Henne to be sacked, cough up the ball a few times. Houston's a matchup defense, and for me, this is the week where they do have a positive matchup. I like them a lot in this game. I don't think Miami can compete with them as far as both units go. I like Houston 27-16.
All right. I think Houston is going to find a way to put even more points on the board. I like Houston to be a very young upstart team and get off to a fast and firing start. We got two more games real quick, then we'll head over to the phone lines. The matchup tonight is going to be a good one. Philly in Atlanta, Rev.
Yeah, and I like Michael Turner as a stud here. He had a decent day versus a strong Chicago run defense last week, and today he faces an Eagles team that will give up yards up the middle, see Steven Jackson's 47-yard touchdown last week. What Philly doesn't want to do is give up big plays in the passing game, so I think those running yards are going to be there for the burner. The dud here is Brent Celek. I spoke about him before. Look, nobody should have started him last week. Nobody should start him this week. You know, but those who did start him were treated to one reception for 13 yards and only 3 targets. While Michael Vick promised to get the tight end more involved, he has failed to deliver on his assurance. As Jeremy Maclin rounds into shape, you would have to think that Celek fades further into the background. As far as sleepers go, I like another tight end, and that's Tony Gonzalez. Philly won't be worried about Gonzo as they will about Roddy White or Julio Jones or even Harry Douglas. But the former Chief put up decent numbers last week with 5 receptions for 72 yards. Philadelphia struggles versus tight ends. And really, they don't have anyone that can really match up with tight ends in general. And so I like Atlanta in this game, in a very, very tight one. Atlanta 28. Philadelphia 27.
Interesting. You got a prediction, Ross?
I kind of like that score, to be honest with you.
Yeah, the Revs hit the nail on the head. I think Atlanta edges out the Eagles. I really do. Last matchup of the week, some Monday Night Football. Steve Spagnuolo returns to the Meadowlands, Ross, where the G-men are, boy, they are cranky and Aiken and the Pakin. I mean, that's a hurt-up team.
Yeah, both teams are. You know, a year ago, this would be an exciting fantasy matchup, but right now, there's not a lot to like. But I think Ahmad Bradshaw is going to have a nice game. The Giants passed the ball way too much. They sort of panicked when they went down early last week. That's not going to happen this week. Bradshaw is going to have over 100 total yards and at least a score in this one. And as I said before, I love Mario Manningham. The Rams secondary is banged up. Hakeem Nicks is banged up. That means Mario is going to be the Super Mario for the Giants as far as them prospering offensively this week. And, you know, game time decision, Monday night, nothing you want to deal with. Steven Jackson, Hakeem Nicks, very iffy. That I wouldn't touch either one of them. And for me, that means that Cadillac Williams is a great play in this game. He can catch, he can run. Giants defense a little dinged up. I think Cadillac is a nice play this week. The duds in this game are the quarterbacks, as far as I'm concerned. Eli Manning hasn't played well at all.
He was terrible in the preseason. He's terrible, not terrible, but he was subpar in week one. He's not a fantasy starter in week one. You know, his best wide receiver has a bum knee. His O-line is not together at all. I'd avoid him until that Giant offense looks at least decent. Bradford has a bad finger. I don't think that's too big of a deal, but when you factor in the fact that the receivers are banged up, he's missing Amendola, Steven Jackson's out. I don't like it. A little inconsistency is no good, especially on the road Monday night in the Netherlands. You might want to roll the dice there with Mike Sims-Walker. I think the Giants' secondary is pretty weak. There's not many other options on the St. Louis roster at receiver, Brandon Gibson. Fine, but I think Mike Sims-Walker, he's worth a flyer this week over a guy like, you know, Ocho Cinco, as the ref said before. And if you want to dig a little deeper, you might want to go with Dominic Hixon. He's actually played well in bursts, and if you're stuck, you're in a bind, I think Hixon, you know, 50 yards, maybe a touchdown. We'll see what happens. I think the Giants win this game. I don't think it's going to be pretty. Giants 21, Rams 16.
Yeah, not exactly a great Monday Night Football matchup, but we got 10 minutes left in the show, guys. I want to get it all in. I want to get it all in, baby. We're going all in. We're pushing it to the middle of the table, going all in. And when we get done with the game previews, that means it's time to welcome a man who needs no introduction. That's the Fantasy Taz in the his house.
Hey, guys, how you doing? A great Sunday morning, getting ready for some great games today.
Absolutely. Week 2 holiday, so let's get right into it, Taz. We got some people waiting on the phone lines patiently. We're going to go over to 609, our brother.
Uh-oh.
From another mother.
Yo, my Jerry. Brother with different mothers. How you shaking, guys? Hey, quick question.
Hey.
In my PPR league, I just picked up Colston, and I dropped Pierre Garçon, because I'm never going to really play Colston, but I got Jordy Nelson, I got Calvin Johnson, and I have Mijak. I only start two. Good move doing that. Get definite for trade down the road. Colston won't come back for a couple weeks. Like that deal?
Yeah, I mean, if you're only starting two anyway, then Colston's worth a flyer for later on in the season. If he does get eventually on the field, he's definitely a good target for Breeze.
Okay, that's what I wanted. That's what I wanted to do. And then my other situation is, I got Owen Daniels in my PPR and Keller. I got Owen Daniels in there now. But you still like Owen Daniels going again this week over Keller PPR?
Yes, I like Owen Daniels this week. I like him a lot. You saw the trouble Miami had last week, and keeping up with those tight ends, Gronkowski in particular. I think this is a good week for Daniels.
I agree. I like Keller to see the end zone this week, though. I got to be honest with you, Jersey. I don't know. I would think twice about that. That's just me. I like Keller to see the end zone, especially if Holmes is not going to play. You know, Keller's that safety, security blanket, check off underneath for Sanchez, especially inside the red zone. He's going to go to Plaxico or Keller. I could see it.
All right, I'll do that. And in my standard league, I got Kellen Winslow in there now. I put Mercedes Lewis on IR. I'll probably drop him. I picked up Grissom, you know, from Cincinnati. You like Grissom going forward this week, or you like Kellen Winslow going against Minnesota's defense?
Go ahead,
Winslow,
Rick.
Winslow.
That's what I got. Okay.
I'm going to have to chime in again.
Don't
here.
Even think about it.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to have to chime. Wait, no, hold on. I want to chime in there and get – I want my 2 cents because I said it before the season starts. I'm going to say it again in week 2, and I'm going to say it again in week 17. Jermaine Gresham, top 5 fantasy tight end.
You're nuts.
I know you like –
You're nuts.
Hey.
You're just nuts. You're
top 5
drinking
the AFC
Mike
North?
A little too much again.
Top 5 of the AFC North?
Hey, Junior called me after the game. He plays football for Del Valle. They beat up Lebanon pretty good yesterday. But he's got a situation. He's in my leg, different division, PPR. He's got Amendola, but he can't play him because he's out. He's got Julio Jones on his bench. He's got Nix and Dez Bryant in the lineup. Now, it looks like Dez Bryant may be out. Nix is a Monday night thing. Any insight as to where you think those two may be at, if they're going to be a game time situation? Any input currently going forward now?
I don't think either one of them is going to play.
Well, you know what? Dez Bryant is not going to play, according to Peter King, what he said. And as far as Nix goes, I mean, you know, it's kind of iffy, but you don't want to wait until Monday night to find out that Nix is not going to play. And quite frankly, if Nix even does play, he might be more of a decoy more than anything else. I saw that happen last year versus the Colts on Sunday Night Football. So I think your friend, or I don't know whose team this is, but you that's
son.
Your team?
My son.
Yeah, you need to hit the waiver wire and look for somebody to plug in for 1 week.
The problem is he doesn't want to give Amendola up because he's a PPR machine, and he normally goes with the other two that are hurt, so he can put Julio Jones in. So out of the other two between Knicks and Bryant, which does he put in there? Because he can't get rid of them. He doesn't want to get rid of Amendola. So I understand where he's coming from, but put Julio Jones in.
Knicks. He's got a better chance than Bryant. Bryant definitely looks
true.
Like he's not going to go. You can't drop any of those guys, so take the chance on Knicks. Go with Knicks and go with Julio Jones and just sit back and take whatever you get.
Jersey, first thing I'd ask him is, does he have two kickers, two tight ends, and two defenses? Because if he does, cut one of those guys and pick up a receiver.
You can't because you have to carry two kickers, two defenses, two kickers.
Oh, that's some shaky stuff right there.
CBS League, yeah.
Don't be telling me what I have to have on my roster.
Yeah, they make you carry that there.
That's some fascist football right there.
Oh, I know, but we're both doing good, man. I'm 2-0. I won both my leagues last week. He won his, and my daughter, young Jersey the House's daughter, is in the Yahoo League.
Oh.
Her first game kicked butt. She said, "Daddy, call me on the draft, man." So now we got three in the. All three of us are playing.
That's how it goes in Jersey, baby.
It is, man. But, guys, thanks a lot for everything. You guys have a great weekend. Thanks, Jim, for the help on the pits and everything. And enjoy yourself. Have fun today. Take care, guys.
Hey.
Jim, bye-bye.
Jersey, always good to hear from you. Always love the New Jersey high school football updates, too. Keep those coming for us. And, Taz, you know, since we got you, let's do a little rapid fire, guys. We got 5 minutes. I got some questions. I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm going to ask you to keep your answers under 10 seconds. So 10 seconds or less, if you can. We're going to go rapid fire. We're going to start off with Taz. Matt Ryan or Joe Flacco this week?
Flacco.
Ross.
Flacco for sure.
Ralph.
Flacco slightly.
Flacco, it's a clean sweep all around the room. Michael Turner or Cadillac Williams, Ross?
Wow. I'm going to go with Michael Turner.
Rev.
The burner.
Tez.
Is it PPR or not? That's the question to ask.
Right. All right. Well, I don't know if I have that on me.
If it's
I know
PPR,
you are very
I go
high.
Caddy. If it's not PPR, I go burner.
Okay. I know you're high on the Cadillac this week. Gronko or Finley? Tight end question. Gronkowski or JerMichael Finley, Rev?
I will go with Gronkowski this week. He'll be needed more.
Taz.
Yeah, I'm going Gronkowski, too. Finley's not 100%.
Ross.
I'll take Finley. I'm not trusting at Green Bay that New England's going to throw the tight ends as much as they did last week. So I'm going to go with Finley. I know he's not 100%, but no one is.
Yeah, I think I
New
like
New England
throws
the tight ends every week.
We'll see.
Yeah, I like Gronkowski was making some plays last week. But, hey,
it was monster.
Either here or there. Speaking of tight ends, Finley, JerMichael Finley, or Jermaine Gresham, Tess?
Well, in that case, I'm going Finley over Gresham. I just don't like Andy Dalton.
Okay. Ross?
Yeah, Finley to me. To me, it's a pretty simple choice.
Ralph?
Finley. I think it's a Cedric Benson game.
And I, too, even though all my love for Jermaine Gresham, I will go JerMichael Finley, but you're not crazy if you start Jermaine Gresham, trust me. D'Angelo Williams or Deion Branch Ross?
I'll take the running back. I'll go with Williams, even though it's not a great matchup.
Ralph?
I usually go with the running back, but I'm going to go with Branch this week. Better chance to score.
Dad.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going Branch, too. D-Will did not excite me last week.
I'm going to go Deion Branch, too. I like him. Percy Harvin or Emmanuel Sanders, Reverend?
I'm going to go with Emmanuel Sanders based on the same logic. He has a better chance to score.
Ross?
Well, I don't know that I'm going to go that far. I think I'm going to go with Percy Harvin this week.
Tez?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I'm going to go Harvin, too. I know we didn't see much from them last week, but Harvin's still got better opportunity, I think.
All right, last one coming right back around the room. Taz, Devon Bess or Plaxico Burress?
PPR, go Bess. In non-PPR, go Burress.
Ross?
I think I'm going to go with Plax.
Ralph.
What Taz said, PPR, you go with best, and then touchdown league, you go with first.
Agree. There you have it. Believe it or not, that's 2 hours, 120 minutes, commercial-free, Fantasy Football Insiders radio show. This is how we do it each and every week, 8 to 10, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Fantasy Sports Channel. You can check us out online at the NFLDraftBible.com. Again, I'll be at Miami Mike's East Hanover, Route 10 today. If you want to come check me out, hang out, watch some games, no problem, buddy. But I do want to give a special thanks to our all-star panel. That would be none other than the Rostradamus Ross Mandel, the good Reverend Ralph Mancini, and, of course, Fantasy Taz Jim Day. For Rick Saratella, signing off, we'll see you next weekend. You know what's coming? It's Mayweather!
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Y'all ready for this? I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it.
Move it.
I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. Give it up, go.
Welcome to the big show.
Give me a zero, zero.
Simply, wait.